We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit. This is the O-Line Committee.
Your lucky day, audience, because Woo! This is a second episode, a bonus episode this week of the O-Line Committee. Jeremiah Searles, Alex Boone, Phil Mackie. Click that like button and the subscribe button on the YouTube channel. And the best thing you can do to help us keep growing this thing, besides helping us grow YouTube, is to help us grow the podcast side too, with a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple or Spotify. And when you leave your comment on Apple or Spotify, let us know who your favorite obscure offensive lineman is in your history watching football. Your favorite random left guard.
The random O-lineman. You get to see some really fun names.
I can't wait to see some names. I can't believe you said that. I'm so excited now to see what names come out.
And we can read those on the show. So
the good old Rich Ornberger. Somebody brought that up to me over the weekend. And I go, I miss that guy so much. We sat in the PA together. He was the funniest dude I've ever been around. And he
does radio in San Diego.
He's great. I love him.
I was with him my rookie year, and he used to do this bit called Letters from Home.
Oh, this is funny.
And so he would write for all the rookies, and during training camp, he would write a letter from home from the rookie, and then the rookie had to get up in the front of the room and read it with no idea what it said. And like, and he was so good at like storytelling and putting in the personality of whoever that rookie was. Like, the guy was up there reading it. Oh, I've never laughed harder. I've never laughed harder than when he used to make the rookies do that. So funny.
Dude, Adam
Dear Dad, sniffle. Like, like, it was so funny.
Dude, we definitely, once we get through kind of the free agency draft period, we're going to be aiming for some guests during the
offseason.
Rich would be great. Dude, you know who else? You know who else I'd love to bring in? And I don't know if you played with him, Jay, and this is off topic. Eric Wood.
Yeah, I missed him by a year, but no, he'd be a great one, too.
He was so funny.
That was when they were like, hey, your neck's broken. You can't play anymore.
I remember that.
Got it. Okay, I retire.
He was a tough dude, man. Like, him and Richie together were, they were crazy, man. Yeah.
So, for the next, I don't know, 35, 40 minutes here on this little bonus episode, we're going to call it Free Agency Quarterback Chaos. I'm going to throw you, and we'll do it in mic form. I'll throw out various mics. All of them are going to be quarterbacks, and we'll talk about their current situation and what you guys think. Let's start with Kirk Cousins. Kirky boy, you're the mic. Okay. So here's two quick snippets of national reports from the last 2 days, and then you guys tell me what you think. So it looks like the Falcons are going to be the most aggressive suitor starting on Monday, if they aren't already the most aggressive suitor. In fact, Kevin O'Connell went on NFL Network with Rich Eisen a couple days ago and said, whether they're supposed to be or not, it seems like other teams are expressing interest in Kirk before the tampering period. But I mean,
stop it.
It's the combine.
Stop it.
Right. The whole combine is nothing but one giant tampering period.
Yeah, come on. Knock it off.
So Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL reporter, said, the sense I'm getting is the Vikings still want Cousins to return, but Cousins has a very specific idea in mind for what he wants in a new contract. Money, years, guarantees, no trade,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And the Vikings so far have not made an offer that matches it. And then Mike Florio came off the top rope last night with a very cryptic post on ProFootballTalk.com. And he writes, I can't get into the specifics for now, but we're getting very credible indications that Cousins is seriously considering moving his family to Atlanta, which would mean, obviously, that he would be signing with the Falcons. Yep. So Mike Florio has like a moving company source or something.
Yeah, right.
So
I'm sure it's somebody more credible than the moving company. Believe me.
He's got two men in a truck is sending.
He's calling saying that Kirk Cousins needs to be moved from Minnesota to Atlanta.
Sends him an itinerary of Minnesota to Atlanta. He's like, I think it's Kirk.
We had kind of talked about this before we went to the combine, but that was one of the things where it's, you know, the team feels the way they do, and when a team has basically been like, hey, man, we're capped out. Like, we have to pay other guys, a la Justin Jefferson. Like, we're going to have to pay some other dudes. We can't give you top-tier money. Kirk could easily be like, hey, man, free agency is where everybody gets overpaid. I'm just out of here. Peace. Like, you can just hit every time free agency hits, you can be guaranteed that every market is going to get reset every single time. That's how free agency works.
Yep.
So if I'm looking at this from Kirk's idea, he's probably like, hey, listen, I know I'm going to get 45.
He's the top quarterback free agent.
For sure.
Right.
I'm going to get my 90 guaranteed somewhere. And all of a sudden, and here's where I'm thinking, Kirk. Looking at Atlanta, for the same reasons we just said J.J. McCarthy would do well there, I feel like Kirk would too, to have a nice balanced run game. And then all of a sudden we're doing these play actions off of it. Oh, and at the same time, I can step back and drop back at times. That's why this is so kind of interesting, because there aren't a lot of quarterbacks that can sit back in the pocket 65 times a game and deliver a ball. And at the same time, do well with, oh, I can hand it off to and do play action. Like, that's very rare. And so if I'm Atlanta, yeah, I'm coming in, but you have to remember, and this is the one thing that always holds me back, is an injury like an Achilles. It's just the unknown. Mm-hmm. People can go, he's going to be fine. You're lying. And you have to admit you're lying. You don't know. Nobody knows how you're going to come out of this. Nobody knows if at the first OTA you're joking around and all of a sudden you go to plant. We just don't know. I've seen the flukiest, freakiest, craziest things happen. I've seen guys literally stand up and their knee just buckles. You just don't know when the body is like, we've had enough. Stress is so much sometimes. Money is a lot. I get it. But sometimes when you're looking at this, I think the Vikings, and especially with Kwesi, he's probably like, dude, look, we just can't do that. We have to pay other people on this team or we will never get free agents while you're here. We won't be able to keep or sustain anything. It's just too much for us. It's fair. And I'm looking at Atlanta going, hey, man, that's not a bad idea.
Well, Atlanta's did what I talked about in the first episode of building your team around a Desmond Ridder, right? Once Matt Ryan, you built your team around him and you went and got Bijan Robinson. You have Kyle Pitts at tight end. You have Drake London, a true wide receiver one. You have one of the highest paid offensive guards in Alex Lindstrom. You have Matthews. Like, you have pieces all around that you've built, and now you have the cap space to go out and buy your quarterback. Right, and then you start your two-year window. When you go buy a free agent quarterback, that you start your two-year window of it's time to go win it all, right? And you've got a new head coach and Raheem Morris down there, who's phenomenal, and you've got all of this stuff. That why not truly blank slate, fresh start this thing with Kirk Cousins? And the only thing I think, if Kirk was 100% healthy, then this is a no-brainer. Atlanta's throwing the farm at Kirk Cousins. I think that would be the only thing that would hold them up of all this guaranteed money and everything up front, is just the fact that he's coming off an Achilles injury. But I do think the Atlanta steam is real. I also heard the Atlanta, maybe they trade for Justin Fields. That kind of lost a little bit of steam as the week went on through the combine. Yeah. But I think it's a two-horse race. It's Atlanta or Minnesota. Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of other suitors. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to come in at the 11th hour and drop a giant thing. I don't think the Raiders are going to come in at the 11th hour. Like, I really do think this is a two-horse race between Atlanta and the Vikings.
I'll throw a third interesting horse in here, and I have a couple thoughts on this too. So the Athletic beat writer for the Commanders, Ben Standig, came out. And he said, because he was going through all the Commanders, like who they might draft at number two, could they move back, build their roster, this, that, the other. And he said, people have been asking about Kirk Cousins. And he said, based on a million different people I've talked to over 2 or 3 years, he would be open to coming back because the ownership is different. The front office is different. Like the whole, like everything's different. The name of the team is different. Like literally everything is different for the Commanders. And he would be open if the price was right. And the price that the Athletic threw out was they could do like 2 years, $80 million, largely guaranteed, and compete with what the Falcons could give.
But Kirk is still looking for that final piece, right? I think back to the quarterback documentary. He's like, here's this empty space in my trophy room that needs a Lombardi, right? And if you're going to add that into the equation of the decision-making in this, do I want to go to the Commanders that are in a division with Dallas and Philly and the Giants? Or do I want to go to a division in the AFC South, right, which is
Panthers,
Carolina,
Saints, Tampa,
Bucks now that
who don't, like, have a quarterback yet?
Who don't, like, yeah. Looking at it from a larger perspective, like, yes, if you go to the AFC, you have to get through Mahomes every year, right? That is a piece you got to get through Josh Allen every year. But I feel like that roster situation right now, and I mean, Washington has a ton of cap space, so I think they're going to be very active in free agency, and they have really high draft picks. But at face value, if that's in part of my decision making, it's not even really close if I'm going to Atlanta or Washington. Atlanta's much
better. Atlanta all the way.
Atlanta's much better built right now than
Washington. And it's funny, like, I see throughout the reporting too, there's references to, you know, he's not going to give the Vikings a hometown discount. The Vikings in Minnesota are not his hometown. He was brought in 6 years ago as a mercenary to help push the Vikings over to take an NFC championship team and be the final piece that brings them to the Super Bowl. They missed the playoffs the next year. They've won one playoff game in the 6 years. It's sort of mission failed from that perspective. Atlanta is more of a hometown for him and his wife than Minneapolis. I know they've raised their kids the last few years, and that matters, but his wife's family is from Atlanta. They got married in Georgia. His dad runs a church in Orlando, in the northern part of Florida. So in terms of his father and her family, Atlanta is probably more of a home base for them than the place they've been living the last 6 years. I'm just projecting.
And sometimes players really do feel like they need a fresh start sometimes.
I agree.
Right? Like, there's definitely players that, as much as they love where they've been and they love what they've accomplished there, like, they feel sometimes too like, I just need a new fan base. I need to reinvigorate kind of my mojo, my juice. And as much, I mean, obviously, Minnesota fans love Kirk, rightfully so. He's a fantastic dude. He's been a really good quarterback for us for a long time for the Vikes. But sometimes players are like, I just want a fresh start, right? If I'm going to go end my career somewhere, I want one more fresh start, one more run at this thing. Let's go do it. And I feel like Atlanta would be a really good spot for Kirk to do that.
Yeah, I think too, like, taking a 7-win team to 10 is a perfect thing for Kirk Cousins. I don't know that he's the take a 10-win team to the Super Bowl. Because he's 36, he's never done it, right? 9 years, he has one playoff win. He's never been the final piece for a Super Bowl contender. But the Falcons right now, their first step is, can we go from 7 wins and not making the playoffs to winning a division and maybe winning 10 or 11 games and just having a professional, competent, accurate quarterback to hit these weapons? They could also draft a receiver with the 8th pick.
Right.
Like, imagine putting like Rome Odunze next to Drake London.
That would be incredible.
Or you could go edge rusher and beef up your defense too, but man.
Yeah. I mean, Atlanta's, and they've got a lot of cap space. Like, they're going to be active in free agency too, right? I mean, it's not just at the quarterback position, but some other spots and some key role spots. But I mean, they've got a good O-line, which Kirk Cousins proved this year. If you got behind a good O-line and give him time, he can deliver where he needs to go. It's just going to be a full matter of, is he going to be truly 100% ready to go by September 1?
Right.
Last Kirk question, that we can get to some of these other quarterbacks. Do you think, if he signs with Atlanta, do you think the Vikings will regret even going back a year, not giving him a multi-year deal to have him finish his career in Minnesota? Will the Vikings regret it?
I don't think so. I think the Vikings are understand the cap space. They understand that they have the budding number one receiver in the world. You can't let that guy out of the building. You can't sacrifice a 36-year-old quarterback to let a young stud wide receiver in this league walk. You just can't do it. And you can't have a $45 million quarterback and a $35 million receiver.
No.
And then build the rest of your team of where it needs to be.
And it's a $17 million tight end, by
right.
the way.
It's yeah. a really, you're talking about four or five guys eating up 80% of the cap. Like, that just
not
doesn't.
Not physically possible. That's why they will not regret it. They're looking at it like, no, this is business.
I think
this is how it goes.
Business side, like fandom wise, maybe. Like fandom wise. And again, I think people get on us on this show sometimes and really on all national talking heads about talking about the X's and O's of the business side. I mean, I can't tell you, I ran into one of my favorite GMs in the world in the combine this year.
Same one I'm thinking
of. I didn't get a chance to meet with him like truly during the week. It was kind of like one of those informals. We ran into each other and just got a chance to talk. I was like, buddy, how are you this week? And he's like, dude, it's not been a fun week. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, dude, we're $50 million over the cap. He's like, all my meetings this week have just been talking about, hey, I can't sign your guy in free agency, and talking to guys, agents on my team that are like, hey, we're either going to have to cap casualty cut you, we're going to have to trade you, we're going to have to ask you to take a pay cut.
I thought the cap was fake. What are you talking about?
Right. But like that's the part that these GMs have to run and do, because it's so hard year after year, especially when you're paying top tier quarterback, to keep yourself under the cap and still be a highly competitive team. Like the cap guys in the NFL
Insane.
Are the unsung heroes Insane. Of every team. The way that they manage the cap and move things around and make it so that they're right on that line of like we're paying to the cent, right? And it's why you can't pay a backup linebacker 2.1. We have to pay him 1.6 so that we can save that $500,000 to allocate elsewhere. Like those, they're not easy to do. And Kwesi's in a similar position where you're looking down the road and you're looking down the future of what are the players that need to get paid, where are the cap hits in 26 and 27, and understanding that and trying not to hamstring your team with paying quarterback top dollars. So from a fan perspective, yeah, there's always a chance if he goes down to Atlanta and he puts a 10-11 team and goes to the playoffs and wins a playoff game, we could be sitting there going, damn, we let Kirk Cousins go. But I think from a business standpoint, from a money standpoint, from an X's and O's standpoint, I appreciate what Minnesota is doing and trying to build for the future.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Justin Fields is the next Mike here.
Mm-hmm.
And according to... So they're looking to trade him, according to pretty much everyone who's plugged in, because they're probably going to take Caleb Williams with the number one pick. And according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, the Bears will need multiple teams in the fray to drive an actual market for Fields. But after asking around, I expect Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Las Vegas, and he throws the Vikings on this list too, to be on the radar for a Justin Fields trade. I don't know if they're going to get a second round pick for Fields, but where would you guys like to... A, do you think he is a viable starting quarterback, a guy that you might pay as a franchise quarterback in a couple years? And where would be the most fun landing spot to rejuvenate Justin Fields' career? Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Las Vegas, Minnesota, and anywhere else that wasn't listed here.
I mean, first of all, I'm still kind of a big believer in keeping Justin Fields in Chicago, trading the number one pick, and building your roster much like Atlanta did. And then being able to go and being able to go and then buy a free agent quarterback in a couple of years if you need to. Like, I still think that's a very viable option for Chicago. Like, I don't think that's
so, like, full. Use your two top 10 picks on.
Do trade the number one overall, get another first this year, get another first next year, and a couple seconds, couple thirds. Like, that's a highly coveted. You could load up with picks, right? Load up with
especially
picks.
For what you talked about, Jay, the 2025, 2026.
Yeah, draft. 25. So, yeah, that's a whole other
crazy. When you said that, I was
so,
like.
So, one thing projecting down the road, a little sidebar here, projecting down the road as an agent, in 2026, there's going to be a meteor and an asteroid that are colliding on an absolute collision course in college football, which is no more sixth-year COVID players, right? So all the sixth-year COVID players will be in that draft, plus all the players that don't have a COVID year and are on their fifth year. So there's going to be this massive class of players coming out that are going to be a ton of guys that have mid-round grades that are going to be seventh to PFAs, because there's going to be massive numbers. There's no more draft slots. There's only 250-ish draftable slots, right? And so if I'm a team and I'm projecting down the road, I want to load up with picks in the 26th draft. Load up with picks, right? And even in the 25 draft, because some of these players might be like, shoot, I don't want to be in the 26. I'm going to come out in 25, right? So accumulating picks for the future with looking down the road of what the landscape of college football and the players that are going to be coming out is going to be very interesting in this draft of what guys do, because there's going to be a ton of talent in those two drafts. So if you look at it from that perspective, hey, Justin Fields last year, we finally got him a true number one wide receiver in DJ Moore. Cole Kmet finally started emerging as a true Pro Bowl type tight end. Maybe we go get him a more premier back. Right, they were running through running backs like crazy last year trying to find one. Yep. And let's build around Justin Fields and accumulate draft capital. I still think that's a very real possibility in Chicago if they don't decide to do that. Now, put on the flip side, Justin Fields goes somewhere. I think he's a viable starting quarterback in this league. I think his first 2 years in the league, he had no weapons. He had no help. It was just the Justin Fields show, and obviously that didn't work so well. But I saw some flashes, especially towards the back end of last year, that this dude is a legit number one quarterback in this league. I think a lot of those places would be really lucky to have him, Pittsburgh probably being my number one.
I was just going to say that, dude. I'd love to see him in Pittsburgh. But I agree with you. Towards the end of the last year, when he was kind of like, okay, I can show everybody what I can do. That's why when I'm looking at this, I kind of agree with Jay. I don't see them not trading out of the first pick and then just loading up in the rest of the draft and going, we're about to just protect the living hell out of this guy. We're about to find him a ton of options. We're going to give him a great running back. I mean, dude. He's a good player. Get him with some good coaches. He could be a great player. Like, he can move really well. He is also another big quarterback that can throw the ball, move around, run with it. These guys, I'm telling you, once they get ingrained in these systems, you just have to keep teaching them. I'd love to see him with the Steelers, but I'd also love to see him with Antonio Pierce out at the Raiders, because I feel like Antonio Pierce is one of those guys that just gives you confidence, right? Like, dude, watching him around the combine. And I know that somebody had, like, I saw a meme of an old GM that was like, oh, I'm so sick of this Antonio Pierce. I was like, dude, I love him. Every time he sees himself on the camera, he, like, waves. Every time you see him around, he's always, like, super nice and stuff. You're like, dude, that's the kind of guy you want to play for. But then you see him in the locker room, and he's like, yo, we're going to kick some teeth in, smoke some stogies at the end. Like, I love everything about that. That's what I feel like Justin Fields needs. Someone that's like, dude, this is all bullshit. We are on a new team. You're here with me now. Let's just go out here and kick some people in the face. Like, and that's what he needs.
Similar to Kirk Cousins. He made a fresh start, right? Like, look at Baker down in Tampa this year.
Dude.
He, like, bounced around, jumped around, and finally got himself in a really good position with really good receivers and took the team to the playoffs.
And they kept Mike Evans.
Like, I can definitely see Justin Fields being that guy when you put him with, let's say, Pittsburgh, right? You got George Pickens. Right, you've got that young tight end, Freiermuth, right? Yep. Who really started emerging last year. Like, you got Warren in the backfield. You got Najee Harris. Like, that's more weapons than Justin Fields ever had, ever in his entire career in the NFL. Besides this year, he had DJ Moore and Cole Kmet. Like, that was it, right? That was it. They traded Chase Claypool because he was terrible. Like, all these things. So I think that Justin may want a fresh start, but I think that if you build a good team around him in Chicago, he's a very viable quarterback to win you a lot of games.
He's also there's so many examples, and I get why, because you want to find out in the first year or two to take advantage of a rookie scale contract, right? Can this guy play? So quarterbacks get thrown into the fire right away. And then if they're not great after 2 years or 3 years, they're just, okay, on to the next. And the Bears have gone through this a number of times over the years too, right? But there are guys that Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith is a more extreme example where if you can just be a little more patient or come back to a guy when he's a few more years into the NFL, just because he's not great after 2 years, it doesn't mean he's a bust for the rest of his career, right? So how do you balance that? If you're the Bears too, you're not ready to pay Justin Fields $30, $35, $40, $45 million a year. So there is value in starting the clock over with a Caleb Williams. I would say this. If they think Caleb Williams is better day one than Justin Fields,
you take him.
Just take Caleb Williams,
right,
and go get like a third or fourth round pick for Justin Fields. But I also feel like we write quarterbacks off so early in this league right now, and Justin Fields deserves two or three more years with whether it's a new offensive infrastructure. Like I think about also some of the, like Kevin O'Connell with Justin Fields, you'd see a better version of Justin Fields.
I think so too. And he had, what, two offensive coordinators, couple different offensive coordinators. Like he's had no consistency in his career.
Right.
Zero consistency. And that's so hard for a young player to develop under a zero consistent basis if you're not going back into the same system as your second year as it was your first year. So now you're learning everything over again and different moving parts. Like just getting him some consistency for his development, his growth, and we could see the strengths of it last year, that would be big too. And I know you're moving teams, so you're kind of starting over again. But when it's clean slate, it's different than just trying to be in the same organization and doing something different. So a clean slate for him would be really good.
Russell Wilson is the next Mike.
1.2 is what I'm seeing he's going to play for.
There's going to be that more teams coming than you think.
Oh, boy. If Russell Wilson's going to make your team for $1.2 million and Denver's footing majority of the bill, there's going to be a lot of suitors if that's truly he's willing to play for.
You ready? Saints. Gonna need some cap friendly something to come and help them save the day.
Derek Carr is back.
Until we trade for Russ Wilson or pick him up. I mean, dude, you're telling me that the team that's the most over the cap right now, $80 million, isn't looking at the million-dollar quarterback going, we'll find a way. We'll find a way to get it done.
So the Saints are on the list. I'm looking at actionnetwork.com. The Saints aren't a favorite, but the Saints are like in the list of 10 teams that. So here's the order of how likely, according to Action Network. Steelers are the odds-on favorite. And by the way, Russ, I don't know if the transaction's official, but they're cutting him. So he's going to be available.
I think it was official last night, I thought.
Yeah. And so if that's the case, by the way, he could sign before Monday, right? Because anyone that's cut can sign before the actual league year and the unrestricted free agent. So
you would want to wait.
I'll have to see if he comes across the transaction report. If that's just like, hey, we're going to cut you.
Right.
Or if they cut him now. Like it really just depends.
They would also maybe do a post-June 1st designation. Right,
right, right. They could do that, too, to save some money.
So Steelers are odds-on favorite. Then in order it goes Raiders, Falcons, Patriots, Vikings, Commanders, Buccaneers if they don't get Baker Mayfield back, Titans, Giants. That's interesting. Because the Giants, what you could do is sign Russ for 1.2. Not do anything with Daniel Jones' contract. Just eat the $40 million or whatever the base is this year, and then be done with it. And then, the Panthers are on this list too, next to the Saints. I don't know.
If he's going to be a backup quarterback,
I guess.
No, he's not going to the Panthers.
He's not going to the Panthers.
Where should he go? Where's the most fun spot? Saints.
Saints would be super fun. Just because you're pairing with some of those guys down there, I honestly think it'd be great. And listen, I know people are probably like, that's silly, but I can promise you Mickey Loomis is looking over there like, hey, very rarely do we get bailed out. Very rarely do we ever get bailed out in this league. And here's a guy.
What's Carr's cap? I'd have to look at what Carr's cap hit and dead money is this year. You could try and trade Carr.
I feel like they just redid his deal.
That's the one reason I don't.
They did. If not, I could see the Patriots to save 23.
They Patriots. Redid. Yeah, so it's probably not the Saints. If they just redid Carr's deal, you don't bring Russell Wilson in to back up Derek Carr.
No,
it's just not.
They lowered Derek Carr's cap hit to $7.2 million this year. To 12.6 million. His cap hit for 2025 is now 51. And his cap hit for 2026 is 61. They're just shoving money.
Dude, just kick the can down.
I'm telling
the
you right
road.
Now, in 10 years, we're going to do a special on how this all went sideways, and we were here for it. Like, they're going to be hilarious. $400 million over the cap.
Well, this is what happens with teams. When you, I mean, incredible. Every year we talk about this. Every year we're like, man, the Saints over, like, if you get yourself in this position as an organization, it takes years to dig yourself out.
And you're going to suck.
Years.
You're going to
struggle year in and year out because you're going to have these top-end dudes make this money, but the back end of your roster is going to be undrafted free agents and veterans on minimum. Like, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Like, that's why the Rams this year, I don't know if you guys know this, the Rams this year, besides Aaron Donald, right? So besides Aaron Donald on their defense, every other starter on that defense was either on a rookie deal or vet minimum.
Yeah.
That's it, because they've been in cap hell, right? They've been in cap hell, and they're starting to see the light. Like, their fingers are over the tunnel that they are pulling themselves out of. They're not quite out of it yet, but you can start to see the light. The Rams are still digging, right? The Rams are, or excuse me, the Saints are still at the bottom, like, throw me the shovel. Yeah. Like, they're still trying to find the bottom. But, I mean, so I can't see the Saints. The name on that list, though, is the Raiders. The Raiders, for me, are probably where Russell goes. And the reason I say that, too, Russell's a vindictive person. He's a quarterback. He's a trained killer, right? They all keep receipts. You don't think Russell would want to go in division, play against Sean Payton twice a year, and be like, hey, remember you? You're paying me to play this game and beat you, right? To embarrass Sean a little bit. Imagine the Raiders beat the Broncos with Russell Wilson, their starting quarterback, twice this year, right? Imagine that. You don't think people in Denver would be heads are rolling, like, we've paid this dude to beat us, and we're still paying him to beat us.
But what is it? What is it about his personality seems to have rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, teammates and various coaches. What is it about him? Is it just kind of the fake, you know, let's ride?
I don't know. I never played with the guy. Alex, you played with him.
I played with him. I loved him when I played with him. So no issues with him?
I don't know. The only thing that makes me worry about Vegas is, you know, he is a strong Christian man. He's married. Like, I don't know if maybe he wants to put his life into the Vegas scene. Like, I do think
go live in Henderson. Go live.
Yeah, but it's still Vegas. It still is. Like, it still is what it is. And maybe he can get out of it. Maybe that's not as big a deal as I'm thinking it might be. But I think the Raiders are a very real spot for him because, again, they had Aiden O'Connell as their starting quarterback. Jimmy G is going to be suspended for using PEDs. Like, there's a lot of moving parts there at the quarterback position. If you can get him and pair him up with Davante Adams and get some more weapons for him over there. I mean, they don't have a running back right now.
Josh Jacobs, he's a free agent. Yeah.
Right, so start pairing up some things. Like,
but you could get him with Russ at 1.2.
Right, that's the thing.
That's nice thing.
You buy quarterback Russ at 1.2, you'd be like, all right, Josh, we'll give you 10. We'll give you 11.
Right, we'll give you what you want.
We'll give you what you
better
want
run.
For a one
you better
or two
be
year
running.
And kind of figure this out again. I think that's a real possibility.
But I didn't even think about the vindictive part. That would be so funny
Dude,
to have.
Quarterbacks
Did you imagine
are killers, man.
Losing to a quarterback who your team is still paying? God, I would be whipping lockers out of the locker room.
Dude, that contract extension he signed doesn't kick in yet until next year, right?
Dude, next year they owe him like 50.
And you don't even know what, like, it's you don't wild. Even think about what they 50. Gave up. Dude, they gave up like two firsts, a third, a
Noah
fifth,
Fant.
And yeah. Noah Fant.
Dude, they gave up a lot.
They
and
sold
you still,
the farm.
You still owe him $50 million next year.
It's wild. Yeah,
that one
so
stings.
Even with a post-June 1st designation, you
By
want to
way,
talk about digging your way out of cap hell.
I saw a report that the Broncos were still trying to get him back, which, by the way, if anyone wrote that, we know you're lying. There is zero chance that they're like, we're going to pay you twice in the same year. Like, that's not happening.
No, and I mean, Russell had that podcast, I think he did with, was it Brandon Marshall? Or, I mean, kind of talking about how the whole thing went down with telling him that they were going to bench him, he didn't do the injury guarantee, and the fact that he was like, I'm standing on this because I'm not setting a precedent for future quarterbacks to have to be put in this position. Like, a lot of respect for him.
A lot of respect.
Really easy to look out for number one there. And he was standing on not just looking out for himself with the injury guarantee, but not setting a precedent in the league that, hey, you signed a supermax deal with a lot of injury guarantees. There's a way for a team to avoid it. So I think he did the right thing right there in Denver. And obviously it just didn't work out. Sometimes that happens in the league. But, no, he's out of there. And I'm going to call Raiders right now, putting my stamp on it.
Raiders, yeah, Raiders seem to make some
Raiders
sense.
Would be sweet.
I am curious. You know, people have mentioned if Kirk leaves, do the Vikings maybe bring in Russell Wilson for $1.2 million? Maybe they draft Penix in the second round and they go edge rusher at 11. But, man, if Sean Payton has a very on-schedule, in-rhythm, like, go-through-your-progressions offense, and Russell Wilson had a hard time, and there's a lot of data that shows he was barely making throws between the hashes, a lot of outside stuff. Kevin O'Connell, kind of the same way, needs it to be very much a certain rhythm, and I don't know that he's going to fit well with Kevin O'Connell, but, man, you're telling me $1.2 million? I know he's not the same Russ from 5 years ago, but that's a steal, right, in 2024?
Yeah.
That's a steal for any team.
Even the leadership in the room.
Super Bowl winning leadership. If you think he'll be a good fit with a young player and he comes in and understands he's a bridge quarterback, right? And I don't know if Russell agreed to that, but if you can say, hey, we're paying you this, we're drafting the dude in the second, we want you to help develop him. Maybe if you do well this year and things go great, we'll extend you, right? You put the preface of that, like, we will extend you if you take us to the Super Bowl, if you take us to the playoffs and things go great. Like, this isn't just a one-stop shop for sure. And you lay out some incentives in there for him to make some more money. I think it makes a great sense to put him with a young quarterback.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see. We'll see where Russell Wilson winds up. There's more quarterback fodder that will play out over the next
week. Well, my question would be, because I don't think this guy's leaving, but I'm curious to see where you guys would like to see Baker.
He ain't going nowhere.
There's no chance
once
he's
they
leaving
sign,
anywhere.
Once they sign Mike Evans back, yeah, I think, like, that was probably the first thing. Is like, hey, you get my number one guy that I can get myself in trouble and just huck it up there to find 13, I'll come back.
Dude.
I don't think the Bucks let him walk out of the building. He probably commands anywhere between 30 and 40 a year right now.
Which is, that's 20 million below the top of the market, or yeah, some of the big, that's a nice
place to have a starting quarterback in this league for anywhere between 30 and 40. Dude, that's,
he's 29 years old. He's kind of becoming the new Kirk Cousins from 6 years ago, where he is like the front man of that second tier of quarterbacks. He's not going to carry your franchise like a Mahomes or a Josh Allen. You definitely need pieces around him.
Right.
But if he's not playing for $55 million, I can afford to put some pieces around
Correct.
Him.
Right.
Right.
You can buy more people around him. And at the same time, I think a lot of him, too, is the way he is. Like, I feel like as a quarterback, he's one of those guys that's out there kind of rah-rah jawing with you. He fits that Tampa scheme well.
For sure.
They are some bullies down there. Like, Todd Bowles and his defense running that middle dog cross every other goddamn play, driving you nuts. And then you look at their offensive line, you're like, yeah, these dudes, they play well with him. Dude, I'm weird to say this, but I'm excited to see what Tampa does this year with Baker. Like, obviously, I'm not a hater. I love Baker's from Cleveland. Like, dude, whatever happened in Cleveland, to see the resurgence of what he's done this year and to see him take this team that far, I'm like, dude, that's badass and awesome at the same time.
Everyone loves a comeback story.
There's no question, dude. Especially a quarterback that's actually pretty cool to, like, sounds like he'd be fun to be around. You're like, keep going.
He's got a new family starting. His wife's pregnant. Like, I think he probably loves the Tampa area. A lot of people do. And if you have that 1 year type success like he had, you know, we talked a lot about Fields and Cousins maybe wanting a fresh start. Sometimes a fresh start's not the best thing for you when you're in that position in your career. Mm-hmm. Stay in the familiarity, stay in the routine that helped you have your career best year. Build off of that, right? And you're going to make $30 million. Like, that's nothing to shake a stick at, right?
In Florida.
That's nothing to shake
a
stick at. That's big time money, right? I think it makes a ton of sense for him to stay in Tampa.
Plus, like you said, this team is, like, they got pretty far last year. Now it's like, you don't want to turn around and be like, somebody else is going to take us farther. Dude, you got to the playoffs with this team, and you guys look pretty good. Continue that steam forward.
Yep. The grass isn't always greener.
No.
So when we record next week, by the way, we're going to be a full 24 hours because we're going to do Tuesday morning, I'm guessing. But actually, you know what? I'm traveling next week, so we might alter the schedule. But it's going to be chaos next week.
Chaos with free agency. Chaos. We might wait a little bit. Dude. Might wait a little bit, see what
Cannot
happens.
Wait. Wow, man.
So thanks for hanging out with us here, O-Line Committee. Click that like button and the subscribe button on the YouTube channel. 5-star rating, positive review on Apple and Spotify. This is an Offensive Line Lifestyle podcast.